but the majority of it go to City of Milwaukee for lead pipe replacement. So one of my comments at this meeting was, geez, you know, you're going to divide this by population. I suppose that's kind of fair, but frankly, our taxpayers are going to pay more than most other communities because we have more disposable income. So I felt that disposable income would have been a better, if this passes, a better formula. That was met with opposition from the smaller communities who have less disposable income, and Mayor Barrett was like I was reaching into his pocket. My statement was, this is a consumption tax. Consumption ought to pay get the benefits, too, if there's benefits to be had. Lots of other conversations, and that was, we were supposed to meet next Monday, to discuss this and ostensibly move to recommend it to the legislature. But that has been since delayed to an unknown date because of all of the questions that some of us mayors have been asking. So the net of all of this is I'm looking for direction from the council. But before I do that, there's a couple other points that I want to make. There's a big push to have this on the April ballot. The stated purpose of putting it on the April ballot is so that they can capture sales tax revenue from the DNC. Okay. And my position on that publicly was, hey, if you want the voters to determine if they're going to tax themselves, then you ought to be asking the majority of the voters and not put it on a spring election. Put it on the general election where there's a presidential election and you can get a good turnout. That didn't make the county exec or the other mayor happy. But that was one of my things. One of my other things was changing the formula to be, if it goes through, to be disposable income and dissolve that $10 million 7% fund and roll it back into the gross number and divide it amongst municipalities so that it's not dedicated to fixing Milwaukee's problem. Those were my statements of opposition, and so now I ask you guys for direction because, frankly, this is a decision that belongs with the seven of us, not just me. Questions? Alderman Taylor.
Well, after I saw this, I gave you a call and did request that we put this on the agenda and sent you an email, so I'm glad that you did. Obviously, if it would go to referendum, no-brainer, it's November election and not an April one, instead of what, depending on municipalities, if they have mayor's races or not, you could have 25, 30% turnout compared to in the 60s, I'm guessing, in November elections. Is that right, Madam Clerk? 80s? Okay, so there's a real reason why the City of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County would want this on a April ballot compared to a November ballot. For those that have paid attention to what I've said, probably the last four budgets for sure, and in other lectures I've given up here and for years on the county board, was what Chris Abley and the county I thought were working towards, which was this fair deal, which said over the last, you know, 10 years, Milwaukee County, because of all the growth and the development that's gone on, and that's in all the municipalities, they've been sending a lot more money to Madison, and we've been either flat or have gotten less from the state. So we're basically the economic engine of the state. We're sending more money, but that money's not coming back. And so it was my understanding, and for well before Chris Abley got involved in this, because he was in Madison trying to get more power for himself, when he finally, after this last election, decided to start working with the county board, they said, we need to fix this. So I thought that they were trying to get a new formula that said, just give us some of our money back. Like, we're giving you more than we used to. Give us some of our money back. That's not what they're doing. They're basically saying, forget that. Let's tax our own residents more. And then let's put on the ballot to ask them. Not, it's fair to ask to not just, you know, not just unilaterally get the state to do it, which will never happen, but to put on a referendum, to have it binding. It's fair if you want to, but that's not what Fair Deal was about. Fair Deal was supposed to say, give us some of our own money back. We're already paying it to you. Just give it back to us. So this 1% deal, is like I said, we're now going to tax ourselves more, even though it doesn't solve the problem of inequity. It doesn't solve it at all. On Sunday, I watched Up Close. It used to be with Mike Goucher. Now it's some new reporter. She replaced this Mike Goucher. I can't think of her name. Adrian Peterson, that's correct.
But
so she had Tom Barrett on. And literally I'm watching this, and he said, if I could have all the money, I would. He literally said that. He would, if I could have all the money, forget Franklin, forget all the municipalities, if I could have it all, I would. But I know that can't work. Well, I mean, seriously, I called Chairman Lipscomb, who's a friend of mine, and I said, we're going to put this on the agenda, and there's no way in hell Theo I can support it. And he gave me all the different reasons why, you know, and he had some good, valid points. You know, the mayor wants to talk about, they want to say population. You're saying based on
disposable
income. So, I mean, there's different, so he made some different points in that. This thing, I think, is dead on arrival. It does not matter what we tell the mayor, we give the mayor any advice. I mean, he can go there and give us a, you know, vote the way you feel you should, but I think you're going to listen to our opinions. It's dead on arrival when you add the city of Milwaukee, because Madison looks at Milwaukee and the way it's been mismanaged. You know, I know people talk about the trolley or whatever. It's perception. When you're not only have this thing that does nothing, and then you're going to talk about increasing the route. So let's ram it through for the convention and everything. This is the trolley. When you have crime running rapid that's trickling in our communities, who on the right mind is going to let Milwaukee or any of the people here them get any more money? Any more money? So this thing is dead on arrival. And what's sad is I told Theo, I said, I think if you take a look at, if it was just a Milwaukee County issue, Milwaukee County, 1%, 0.5%, whatever, it was just based on the fact that every municipality except for River Hills has county assets. We have Fremming Park. We have, I mean, most of our roads have been taken care of since my 6 years. But we still have issues, okay? We have $300 million deferred maintenance. That doesn't include a $200 million safety center that needs to be built. I think if you asked voters in Franklin, would you support this if we were going to fix the domes, if the money would go to replace the museum? I mean, I think people would say, I get value on that. But when you know that some of this money is fixing Milwaukee's problems, when they've mismanaged it themselves, that's a problem. And I think the other issue I have is, I remember having this conversation with Chris Abel. I said, you know, I'd consider some sort of referendum question, some sort of sales tax increase. But the only way it would be successful, I think, is if you did what Oklahoma City would do. They would say, we're going to do a five-year, here are all the things that we're going to fix, and it's going to sunset after these 5 years. And then they would raise that money, they would fix those things, and then they would go back to the general public for another 5 years. Instead of, this has no sunset, you don't know what the money's going to be spent on. They're not telling us exactly what's going to be fixed. You're just assuming that they're going to take care of the domes and the safety center and all those types of things. But there's no, you know, plan. So anyways, I think this is doomed for failure. And I think it was a big mistake when you include the city of Milwaukee on it. So that's just my opinion, Your Honor. So I would say if you're to take a stance in favor of it, it would, which I would be against, I would say for sure November referendum. I would say I like getting rid of that $10 million. It goes just to the city of Milwaukee because they already get a big chunk of it. It would be a list of what you're going to repair, and it would sunset. But I wouldn't support it the way it is.
My retort on this health fund was, okay, I want a large portion of that so that I can get rid of the private wells that are soaked with radon. And that went
exactly
right over their head. That's not lead pipes. That's right. not the case. So anyway, okay. And by the way, I just want to point out, you guys have come to know that I do have a sarcastic streak in me. If you look on page 119, the quote from reporter for the Business Journal said, it may get unanimous support, Olson said. You never can predict in politics. That unanimous support statement was pure sarcasm, and he didn't get it. So I've learned a valuable lesson. No sarcasm to reporters. They don't get it. So anyway, okay. Anybody else? Alderman Dendre.
Well, I'm going to agree with what Alderman Taylor said. I'm not in favor. So you may have some stipulations that you may agree that it will go, you recommend it to the public for a public vote, but I just don't trust what is being presented to us, and I would just back out right away. So I'm not in favor.
One of the political missteps is the county, if they wanted to levy a 0.5% sales tax, does not have to go to the legislature for permission. So get rid of all of the subsidies for the communities. I mean, I'd like to have $2 million. Don't get me wrong, Mark. See, I'm not throwing it away.
Sure.
But with my community paying more than that $2 million,
you know, the county already did, though. That's why it's the state's is 5%. It's 5.5 because of Milwaukee County, and the 1 cent sales tax is because of Miller Park. So the county already has levied the 0.5 cent. That's why they can't. That's why they had to go this route. But the thing is, they still could have, Your Honor, they still could have moved forward on going to Madison and actually taking time and lobbying the legislature, because I've heard Superior, you know, as far away from us as possible, has said, we're struggling here. We want some of our, you know, like, we've given you more than we're getting back. And I think the entire state, there's some inequities, but it's, you know, I'll tell you who's probably getting more than they're giving is probably Waukesha County or Ozaukee County or Washington County. Why? Because the wild counties, the Republican conservative counties, are probably getting more. But they're not the economic engine. This place is. And so if the county was, like I said, I go back to, if they were, they should have first tried that and then done a 1% or whatever, 0.5% just for the county, because every municipality besides River Hills has some sort of county asset where our residents could say, this would be beneficial to us. I could see that. And like things like the domes and the zoo and the museums, all of us, either as children, if you grew up here, I grew up in Muskego, we would go to all of them. Or if you have kids here in Milwaukee County or grandkids or whatever, we use those things. Our neighbors use those things. You could probably sell that on just fixing what people actually love. I mean, I think the domes had there was a survey that went out, and it was like 80% of the people said fix them. It was also a $70 million tab.
Mm-hmm. Alderman Nelson.
I agree to not support this because it's ambiguous. I think Alderman Taylor brought up great points, and I think they should take note to that. If you list what you're going to fix, then you follow that, and you put a sunset on it, and I think that's what's going to make it work. It's too wide open, and that's my position.
Alderman Barber.
I cannot support it because I can't vote or put another 1% sales tax on the residents of Franklin. I wouldn't want to do that without having their input or their support for it.
They would vote for or against it on referendum. So it wouldn't be us.
If the referendum's in November, then it would get out the majority of people to do that, and then that to me would be a signal. As it is right now, no.
I agree. The sunset, no sunset's the biggest thing for me. I mean, the unfairness and the other ambiguities, but just no sunset.
Okay, I have the clear sense of the common council. So I know the direction of the common council. Understand that I have a list in front of me to try to make it better before it fails.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So you all understand that.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. No actions necessary. Move on to G11. Anybody else? No? Move on to G11. Mr. Luberta, presentation of my budget, page 123.
Good evening. Thank you for getting
to this agenda item so quickly gives me all that much extra time.
Yes.
Yeah. I appreciate that very much.
Bert is loving it.
That was good. He is loving it.
Still have one more item.
I will try to be quick, but this is probably the start of the most significant thing you do every year. It involves everything else you do, because just about everything involves the money, and that's where the budget comes in. But a lot of this year's budget work was actually started last year. The 2019 budget, we really dug into what makes a budget tough and used that whole structure, if you recall. And we talked about it again this July when we had a preliminary meeting on this budget. We really talked about what the challenges are and why every budget seemed tough. What were the driving forces? And we used that to then figure out and create a structure going forward. So we've tried to adhere in this budget to that structure. What you have in front of you is just that summary from that whole, I'm sure, mesmerizing presentation from last year that discussed and explained why every budget was tough. I won't read each of these. That information's there, but it's that lack of control that we have, the levy limits, the fact that we only have core municipal services left. Our costs go up, and the levy limits keep us from being able to meet it. And so that sort of took us to this portion for last year, which was that chart that has, it's a little tough to read what those lines are, but they were minimum sustainability levels, more practical and ongoing. And the goal we said we'd try to do going forward is use tax levy growth, the property tax levy growth, to try to achieve that minimum sustainability level. And then above that, for the more practical and the ongoing, try to figure out ways to do that with other revenue sources, with cuts and savings within the operating departments. And the mayor's recommended 2020 budget once again looks to succeed in using those non-tax revenues and expenditure constraints combined with minimum sustainable increases in the municipal property tax to achieve a balanced budget that sustains our current levels while making some positive improvements overall. And we did definitely try to focus on some of those positive improvements that could be made. If you recall from the July 16th meeting, where we did a preliminary meeting, probably the biggest single difference in this budget is the landfill siting fee revenues. Across all funds, the increase in landfill siting fee revenues is over $1 million. And what we talked about at that point, and this budget continued to try to drive home, is that it's critically important that the city carefully assess the opportunities for this increase in revenue and sort of strategically deploy it over time to try to mitigate that annual process. If we have this gap that we know we have to fill every year and we struggle to fill it and we have positions at risk if we can't fill it, well, we've got this resource now, this $1,083,000 that we anticipate and have included, how to figure out how to use that for ongoing ways to stretch that to 3 or 4 years to be able to achieve that ongoing stability. And we really targeted that in this budget presentation to use as little of that as possible for ongoing operations and continue to have our due diligence in all the other line items to do that. So when we first presented to you this summer that the landfill siting fee revenues based on the expansion and the new contract were going to be increasing to this extent, we set out sort of five sort of options for how to use that money and how to think about it. So we just didn't throw it at the budget and sort of waste it all. I don't want to say waste it, but use up all of its potential in one fell swoop. And those were to use to span that funding gap between that sort of minimum level and where we want to achieve each year. Do careful long-term planning, so phase that in by doing that, not using most of it, so we can stretch it to that second, third, fourth year. And take that portion that isn't being used for an ongoing purpose, where we're going to need that money for the same thing each year after year, use it in places where It can provide us other future benefits, like the equipment replacement fund, the funding the OPEB fund deficit. We didn't end up using any for that this year, but helping to cover debt, reduce debt, solving some deferred capital issue. We did use a lot of funds, as we'll talk about, in addressing some capital needs. It also gives you the opportunity to look at some critical needs evaluations. Look at areas where maybe your operations have been suffering, and it is worth taking that opportunity to employ some of these funds to resolve those issues. And lastly, take a conservative approach to risk avoidance. In other words, where we're putting the landfill siting fee revenues themselves, try to use that where if something happens to that funding source, although it's a long-term contract with every expectation that the funding will be there for a while, you do want to make sure you're not as tied to that. So if we're using that in the capital areas, for example, then if something happens, we have more time to react. If it's right in the operations, we have less time to react. So we indicated we'd probably look at transferring more levy to the general fund and moving the landfill siting fee revenues out where you see other revenues in some of the other funds. And that's exactly what we did. So since it's probably one of the biggest single issues, I thought we'd jump right into how was it applied, and then I'll talk about a couple of these in greater detail in some of the fund portions. $198,000 was what we used to support ongoing general fund operations. So that's, you know, only about a sixth of the total, of a little under a fifth, somewhere between there. But also, we did set aside $120,000 for one public safety officer. We'll talk about that at some length. So it's either police or fire. It's not really established. And that's on an ongoing basis. So thinking of that as just as you, with the same expectations going into every budget as you do for every position. We also used it for two additional public safety officers, either police or fire, funded on a provisional basis. And I'll talk about that some, meaning there's funding allocated for it this year, but it's not necessarily guaranteed to continue forever. Our hope would be to figure it out as we get to each budget, figure out how to keep that going, but we can't always guarantee that we can do it. And I'll talk about some of the keys to that in a moment here. We did provide some additional ongoing support to the library, about $20,000, which is not a dramatic amount, but relative to the size of the budget, you compare that 20 to the 198, and it does help them move forward. The rest were in, you can see,